Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Has it really been a week already? Here we are on the other side of Easter. The flowers have been taken home. The suits and the dresses have been hung up, and the candy is mostly eaten. The cardboard rabbits come out of the shop windows, and the unsold candy gets marked down at a discount price, just in case anyone was stopping by Walgreens on the way home today. The church may continue on in the Easter season, but the world moves on to the next big thing. But in truth, there really is no moving on from Easter. Christ is risen. This fact of our faith is as true on Ash Wednesday and on Christmas morning as it is on Easter. Christ doesn't go back in the grave after Easter like a gopher who's seen its shadow. During our celebrations last week, I found myself wondering, and here's where I make the clergy and everyone involved in the services cringe just a bit. What if we celebrated every Sunday as if it were Easter? Or one better, what if we treated every day as if it were Easter? This is the good news. The truth of our faith that is just as true today as it was 7 days ago, and as it will be tomorrow and 7 days from now. Christ is risen. We proclaim this truth at all times and at all seasons, or at least we try in our imperfect human way. We may be transformed through Christ's resurrection, yet it's so easy to slip back into our old ways of being. The seasons of the church model the seasons of faith that we all move through. And if you're starting to feel a little unsure about how well you live into the Easter season, well, I've got some good news for you. The church has been trying to figure this out for 2,000 years, and we're still getting it wrong. And if the gospel reading is anything to go by, the people living the events of the resurrection were just as clueless about it as we are. One of the most remarkable things about the Gospels is how willing the apostles must have been to tell tales on themselves. Every foolish question, every moment of doubt, every petty squabble, it wasn't Jesus jotting these stories down, like mom collecting anecdotes to mortify her children with. No, it was the apostles themselves. And so, on this side of Easter, in the aftermath of joyful tidings and angelic proclamations, the gospel brings us the apostles, these titans of faith, living into the Easter season by hiding behind locked doors and sealed windows. The first time is a bit understandable, given everything they'd been through. But then Jesus appears to them, pours out his Spirit upon them, promises them unimaginable gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then, A week later, they're back at it, hiding behind those locked doors and sealed windows. We're all used to having a bit of fun at these apostles' expense, but we should never forget that they stand in for all of us. How quick we are to forget the joy of Easter. How quickly we retreat back into closed churches and gated communities, shutting ourselves away from the world instead of going out into it. How often it is that Jesus must break through the locked doors of our hearts, yet he does so time after time after time, because there is no force on this earth that can keep Jesus out. This gospel passage is, of course, where we get the story of doubting Thomas. But upon closer investigation, he actually comes off a bit better than most of the other disciples here. After all, he's the only one not shut up in the room with them the first time around. Maybe he was the only one with the nerve to make a store run that evening. So I don't really blame him for being a little annoyed with everyone else when he gets back to find out that he's missed out on Christ's miraculous appearance. But the most important thing here is not that he doubted. It's the fact that he stuck around for a week, waiting for his turn to see Jesus. I'll be honest with you, if all of my friends got together and told me that a beloved friend who'd been brutally murdered not 10 days ago was alive and well, and oh, by the way, they just so happened to see him when I was conveniently not in the room, I'd be just a little annoyed. Maybe I wouldn't want to hang around those people anymore. But Thomas sticks it out. Who knows how he spent that week waiting for his chance to see the Lord? Who can say what was going on in his mind? Doubt is like that. It sticks with you, gnawing at your mind like a hunger you can't seem to sate. But doubt alone is not sin. In the life of faith, doubt comes as natural and is as healthy as breathing. And when properly fitted into the spiritual life, doubt becomes the foundation for an even stronger faith. All of those disciples had doubts. If they didn't, they wouldn't have been hiding in that room. Whatever Thomas did with his doubts, they prepared him for that climactic encounter with Christ. This may seem like a minor detail, but the gospel does not actually tell us if Thomas took Jesus up on that invitation to stick his finger in the wounds. Instead, Thomas proclaims simply and beautifully, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. The clearest proclamation of Christ's divinity comes from doubting Thomas. This is the power of Easter. The power of God to make all things new, transforming even the bitterest doubts into the strongest faith. God's love transforms the cringing, cowering disciples into the dynamic faith community we see in our reading from Acts. a community that shares its faith and its resources with others so that no one is forgotten and no one goes without. Christ's love transforms us all. And through that love, if we let it, the whole world is transformed. And now, Esme, Cameron, Callahan, Louisa, and Charlotte, I address you directly. In a few moments, you will be baptized, sealed as Christ's own and marked forever as children of God. This is only the beginning of the journey for you and your families. I wish I could tell you that it's a smooth ride from here on out, but it isn't. There will be hardship. There will be doubts and struggle. But through it all, there is joy. Joy is to be found as beloved children of God, a God who knew you and loved you while you were still in your mother's womb. The world will try to tell you otherwise. It will tell you that love is conditional, that it must be earned through beauty and wealth, status and success. But through Easter, we know that the world is wrong. No matter where you are in this world, Jesus will find you, just as he found Thomas. No locked doors or shuttered windows will keep Christ out, even if we ourselves are the ones who lock them. Through baptism, we are transformed. We share in a resurrection through which this world is redeemed and all things are made new. After today, Christ's love will increase in you and work through you. Every day, Christ will transform you little by little. At every day and every moment, we grow deeper in Christ's love. And this is not a love that we can hold in and keep to ourselves. This is a love that spills out from us, seeping out and spreading the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And know that you do not make this journey alone. God is with you. The church is with you. A sacred promise is made today that this community and this church will love you and nurture you and support you in the long journey of faith. Hold us to that promise. And know that this is a promise that follows you wherever your journey takes you. Because you are God's beloved, today you are marked as Christ's own, and there is no force in this world that can wrest you away from God. No matter what the headlines may say, no matter what doubts we must struggle with and work through, we are an Easter people, boldly proclaiming in all times and all places that Jesus Christ is risen. The love of Jesus carries us through the waters of doubt and on to the shores of belief. And we must not even try to hold this love behind closed doors. No, we must share this love with the world as we strive for justice in our families and in our communities. The new life found in Easter is not some magic trick, some ethereal force that God accomplishes through the wave of divine hands. It is not a special outfit that we put on for one day a year before we take it off and wait for the next go round. Easter is embodied in the risen Christ, and the risen Christ is embodied in us, the children of God. So go out from this place, knowing that we are an Easter people, now and forever. Share that joy with everyone you meet, so that they may also know that they are beloved children of God. Alleluia. Christ is risen.